Hello, welcome to the Chess Boxing Podcast. It's me, the Grievous Bodily Farmer, and today on the pod we've got John Wood. Say hello, John.
Hello.
So, and what's your ring name, John?
John the Brick.
John the Brick, and we also got Matt Crazy Arms Reed. Matt.
Hi, how are you doing?
So, John, why are you called the Brick?
Well, quite simply, because I am a bricklayer. Okay. Well, I used to be a bricklayer.
I thought you were an architect.
Well, I'm a bit schizophrenic, so sometimes I'm a bricklayer, sometimes
okay.
I'm an
architect.
I am registered as an architect.
Okay, so you can follow the process all the way through, from paper all the way through to actually building the house.
Well, how's about from the ground up?
Yeah.
That would work better as a building analogy.
Yeah.
In theory, that is the case, but that rarely happens.
Okay.
Mainly because he's on tea breaks every 15 minutes. As a true bricklayer, he's always on a tea break.
So how many sugars do you have in your tea, John?
I'm very stereotypical. I have about 5 sugars.
Are you serious?
No.
And diabetes, type 2.
I was going to say, you're skinny as a rake, aren't you?
Got to be strong.
Yeah, proper builder's tricks.
You like it when it's been stewed for a while?
It's got to be stewed for a while.
Okay.
But I'm also very sensitive, so I get kind of caffeine problems. I'm a bit schizo in that way, like I was saying. So I'm like, I think I'm a bit of a hard man builder,
yeah.
But then realise that I'm very sensitive and soft and,
okay.
and right
on. Do you have a good wolf whistle, do you?
I haven't got a wolf whistle.
No, you wouldn't do that.
I wouldn't do that.
No.
even as the macho bricklayer, I wouldn't do that.
Okay, really good. And what do you think? Because quite often on the podcast, we decide whether Matt's been lazy or crazy today. What would you say?
Crazy arms or lazy arms?
He's been a mixture of both, actually. He got me to hit him a lot, but he didn't.
He did do some sparring?
He did a lot of sparring.
Okay.
He wasn't moving very much. He just let me hit him. So that's a bit lazy and crazy, isn't it?
We were simulating a punch bag, a heavy bag routine, where I played the role of the heavy bag.
Okay.
So I sort of swung a little bit back and forth, and I made all the right noises.
Okay.
But no, I had my S&M session cancelled last night, so I really wanted to be dominated by John. So there was a lot of guard up. He was going, hit me, harder, harder, harder. Which, if it wasn't for the gum shield, I probably would have got into a lot of trouble in the gym, because they're not really into that sort of thing.
Okay. So how is your prep going, John? You've got a fight coming up, haven't you? When's that fight?
2 weeks today.
Really?
So I'm a little bit nervous about my energy levels because I was a bit ill over Christmas and then I was a bit ill after that. So I've not been able to get the full body of training in. But I'm reasonably confident.
Mm.
Because it's just getting to a level where I can keep out of danger.
It's the boxing side. You're technically one of the better boxers we've got. Training in the gym, I'd say. Is that fair, Matt?
Yeah, I was about to say, definitely. In terms of technique-wise, it's got a lovely style.
Lovely style, yeah.
Lovely
you look good in the ring. I think you're what Zoe is trying to train us to look like. But your chess, I haven't played you for a while, but your chess is terrible. No, it's not terrible. It's not as good as Geraud's, though, is it?
Oh, no. That's going to be the interesting contest, which is quite the good thing about chess boxing, isn't it? It's getting that balance, isn't it? Where I'll hopefully disorientate him slightly, and then we might be on a level playing field.
You have sparred with him. In fact, he was on the podcast last time talking about yourself and sparring with you.
Sparred last week, and he's on the WhatsApp group. We recorded it. We stuck it up there for the world to see, or at least anybody that comes training, they can join the WhatsApp mm-hmm. group. I think what's interesting about John's chess is that what readers won't realise is that he's not even... that he was abysmal at Christmas time. He literally didn't know how the pieces moved at the end of 2018. And people might sort of say, well, how could he possibly be competing in chess boxing just 3 months later? And I sort of think, well, John is like that unformed block of granite. He really is like a brick. He is just basically ready to be sculpted. So he's got nothing that's already kind of like, you know... No bad habits, no errors that are built in. He is literally can be honed into a lean, mean chess machine.
Mm.
And... we've played about 20 games so far online, John. Maybe 10 only.
Yeah.
Something like that. Yeah. He's won one.
Really?
Against me.
Wow.
And I'm not joking you.
I was playing very quickly,
I must admit. I wasn't giving it my full consideration, just as a caveat and excuse for the listeners out there.
Come on, Matt. You spoilt it now. You almost complimented him there.
He played six binding moves in a row. Checkmate me in about 26 moves. It was brilliant. I'm going to show you the game when we go.
So you're pleased that the training's going well?
It's only because the teacher's so good. That's what okay. it is.
Yeah, okay. No, it's a good teacher. And, good teacher. I just had a strong cup of tea, and that helped.
Okay. Five sugars.
And it's true, I am open, but at the same time, this kind of openness is like a vacuum.
I think, because I remember when I played you the first time, the advice that I got, which I think is advice you might want to take, John, is to play a non-standard opening, because that can be a little bit of a leveller.
I'm going to be showing him some stuff over the next couple of weeks. Maybe some French defences, not giving away too much to Gurr, because hopefully he's not listening to this. But if he is listening, this is interesting. Gurr turned up to the chess boxing session today with an absolute stonking shiner. It could not have been better unless it had been drawn on by the chess boxing makeup department, which we don't actually have. So I don't know what's going on with Gurr. He's clearly pushing himself only in one direction at the moment, and that is boxing. So we've got the boxer that's learning the chess and the chess player that's learning the boxing. So I think that is probably going to be my fight of the night.
Yeah, okay. I noticed his boxing was better today as well. Mine was a little bit off, I thought. So I saw him in a ring moving around, and somebody, was it Roger, was attacking him quite a lot, but he managed to get out of the way and punch him back.
He's got some good movement, hasn't he? Yeah. He didn't get pinned down in any corners.
Yeah.
And he fought his way out.
It could get quite tasty. I don't know.
I think it will get tasty. So, John, what is your favourite chocolate bar? Speaking of tasty, and why?
I like dark chocolates.
Really?
Yes.
Well, like dark Kit Kats?
No, like, you know, these bars that
the Bourneville, the old school.
Yeah, right, okay.
Yeah. They kind of stick to the roof of your mouth.
Yeah, and when they're really, really dark, they don't even taste like chocolate, do they? It tastes like kind of sweet, salty earth, that kind of thing.
Very good, very good. And so, are you doing any special training outside of the gym? Because obviously you're training when you're not... You must be training more than Saturdays, right?
Yeah, well, I have, but it's a bit sporadic. But I've been... this kind of new job I've got as an architect in Ilford, there's a guy who's quite a religious bloke who is one of the senior architects, and I got friendly with him, and his brother runs a church. He's like a priest.
It's in Romford.
Church. Yeah, in Romford.
Oh, right, because you told me you're fighting out of Romford Church, and I thought that's bit of an odd place to be fighting out of.
Nice, I like that. Yeah.
They're going to be, and I'm not religious myself, but it's kind of strange.
So God's going to be on Gurr's side then, is he?
No, he's going to be on. Well, I've got the trainers who believe in God.
Okay.
So I'm hoping it's going to rub off a bit.
Okay, good.
Yeah. Okay. You got the power of the cross.
So you actually train in a church, in a physical building of a church.
We're not fighting around the pews and all that kind of thing. But there's an extension to the church.
Is there really?
And we kind of fight it out there. Not a lot of sparring, to be honest. It's just mainly fitness.
And how often do you do that?
Every Thursday.
Okay.
So I'm only doing, and it was cancelled this week, so I'm only doing I'm not doing enough at the moment, to be honest. So.
John, I love this. You're going to lull Gurr into a full sense of security when actually you're doing road work from 5 a.m. till 7 a.m. You're doing stair runs up and down Covent Garden.
In fairness, I would be worried, but I do know that you cycle to work and you cycle to the gym, so I think you've got a very good base level of fitness, actually. And I know technically you're proficient, so... It doesn't worry me too much, actually.
We're going to be all right. I'm good at holding on as well.
Yeah. So did you see that we got a write-up in The Observer?
Yes.
The Chess Boxing Podcast. So thanks, Observer. That was very good of you to mention us.
Yep. Admittedly, they called you Scatty.
Well, they called the podcast Scatty.
No, then they called the presenter Scatty.
Did they?
The interviewee's names. I'm pretty sure it was labelled purely at you.
There was one episode when I basically couldn't remember anyone's names. It's not just the people in the podcast, but also the fighters and all the different shows. When we talk about the shows that have happened, it's often quite hard to remember because we've had so many people.
Well, some
people
I only know by their fighting name. And I couldn't remember what Roger's name was for ages. I was just like, that's just Cannonball. He's just Cannonball.
Yeah.
And then you go to talk to him and you realise that in polite society, you can't go up to somebody and go, hello, Cannonball, how are you doing, mate?
So the journalist basically went on after saying that I couldn't remember anyone's name or get anyone's name right. To then describe me as Gavin Patterson with two T's. So I think she owes me at least a retweet for that or some sort of apology, but we'll see. Maybe she's listening now. Maybe she can do something about that. We also had an email from our listener in Qatar.
Richard, was it?
Yeah, Richard.
Yep,
about the rule change.
I liked it, though. I liked it up until the point where he suggested a four-minute boxing round. Was it 4 minutes?
Well, instead of three?
I think so.
Yeah, but I think this, Richard, if you're listening, boxing for 4 minutes is virtually impossible. Boxing for 3 minutes is exhausting.
Boxing for 3 minutes is impossible as well. Boxing for 2 minutes is basically impossible. Boxing for 90 seconds is just about doable. Mm. I prefer boxing for 50 seconds. That's about
or
right
not at
me.
All, if you can get away with it.
If you can get away with it, but like, otherwise people just think it's some sort of choreographed dancing otherwise. You have to throw a few punches.
Yeah. So, Richard, if you're listening, I think you need to get down the gym and get in the ring and box for 4 minutes and then come back and have a chat with us.
Yeah, if you still think the four-minute rounds are a good idea, mate, I'll take you on. 4 minute rounds.
Okay, and so what else is happening in the chess world, Matt? You're plugged into that kind of thing.
Well, there's controversially, the English Chess Federation are thinking about changing their grading system. Oh. The interesting thing about their grading system is that it was invented...
Can grading systems be interesting? Go on, sorry.
Do you remember the Liberal Democrat MP Charles Clark?
I know the name, yeah.
His dad invented the grading system that we still use.
Wow, okay.
And after all these years, I think it's about 70 years, maybe 60 now, they're thinking about changing it to a more international system. If you could imagine it like driving on the side of the road, we in this country, we drive on the left, but more or less everybody else drives on the right, very few exceptions. It's the same with the grading system across the chess world. Everywhere else, if you go internationally, so any listeners that aren't in England, they will probably know their chess ability is a four-digit number. Mm-hmm. Or if they're a really bad player, maybe a three-digit number. But in this country, if you're a really bad player, you've got a two-digit number, and if you're a good player, you're a three-digit number.
Okay, so the one I know, the chess.com one, is the international one, is it?
Absolutely, because most people on chess.com are American.
Okay, so I wouldn't even know what my other rating was.
You just, very simply, you can just knock off the last digit.
Oh, is it that simple?
Well, it's not quite that simple.
But
you
roughly.
Normally divide by 8 minus 600 to convert backwards.
Oh my God, that's so unnecessarily complex.
Yeah, well, that's the British for you. We think we pioneer everything and then nobody else wants to copy us.
No one follows us. I've discovered there's a place online where you can order sandwich boards. Pre-made sandwich boards.
Oh, this is amazing.
Do you know the story?
Can I tell this one?
You better tell it. I mean, we've told it so many times on the podcast, but you might as well do it again.
So basically, I'm Crazy Arms, and I'm taking on Tim the Hippo Woolgar.
Mm.
And Tim and I have been, I'm going to say friends, but we're sort of frenemies, really. We were going for a friendly patch, and we were going for drinks in a pub in Marylebone. It's built into Marylebone train station. It's called the Victoria and Albert. And we were talking about Trump and what a shit show he is.
This is before he was elected?
No, he'd been elected, he'd been inaugurated, and he was still tweeting. So it was probably the early weeks, maybe the first month or two.
So January 17.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we sort of said how much we hated Trump. And Tim sort of said, he'll be indicted. You mark my words, within 2017, that man will be indicted. And I sort of said, I don't think they'll do that in this media and day and age. You know, the country and the economy wouldn't stand an indicted president. So we had a bet that if Trump was indicted, I would take Tim and our friend Nev, who was with us that evening, out for the most expensive meal that can be bought in London for three people. So we're looking at, I don't know, £600,
£1,000 easily.
£1,000. The wine's excluded, so hopefully, you know, it's only on the food. But it was going to be an expensive meal. But if Trump wasn't indicted in 2017, Tim would have to basically strip naked and then write the details of the bet on a sandwich board, put the sandwich board on, and basically do two laps of Marylebone train station at rush hour.
Okay.
Now, as every leader or listener will know, Trump is still in power. So Tim will have to do this punishment when he flies back from Australia ahead of our fight.
Well, I think perhaps we should get one ordered and have it, you know, in the production office so that when you do beat Tim, you can just bring it out.
Well, to be honest, I think maybe, regardless, he should do it. Maybe, I mean...
Probably should, yeah.
I don't think the people in Marylebone train station are going to be particularly bothered if they miss out on this spectacle.
Yeah.
But I think the people at the Boston Dome that are spending good money
should
see it.
You'd be happy if he did it in the Dome instead.
I'd be happy to see it. Not it, but I'd be happy to see the spectacle.
Well, let's talk about this off the podcast and see if we can get something ordered. So, John, do you know what your opponent's ring name is? It's not a trick question. You may not know.
No, I don't know, actually.
Okay, it's Gerard Sex Appeal Veal.
Oh, Sex Appeal, yeah.
How do you feel about fighting and potentially losing somebody whose ring name is Sex Appeal? Does that give you more of an impetus to beat him, or...?
I think the thing that's probably more problematic is that he's Irish and it's St. Patrick's Day.
Mm.
He's got, you know, he's going to beat up an Englishman. Or yeah. That's what you'd be thinking. I'm going to beat up an Englishman on St. Patrick's Day. And you know, I wish I had that advantage.
That's true.
And I was about to say, you can't even count on home advantage on a night like that, because everybody's Irish on March the 16th. I've only got English heritage, but he's Irish on March the
16th. I actually forgot to raise it with Garrod on the last podcast, but he's actually on a stag do that night as well.
Oh, wow.
So he's not just his friends are there. He's literally on a stag do. So there's going to be 25 drunk Irish people cheering him on.
Oh, bloody hell.
As part of a stag do.
You are in trouble.
have you got any fans coming, John?
I've got a few, not as many as... because I'm not really in touch with the rugby club as much as I was, because I only play about once or twice a season.
Mm.
So in the past, if I'd have been... got them involved, there'd been about 50 of them or something, but there's only about 5 or 6 of them. I'll probably have about 15 people at the most, something like that.
Okay. Still good numbers. Still good numbers.
And as we've just got onto it, I think we've got about 40 tickets left of general admission.
I know somebody about to order 10, so to be honest, really, by the time this podcast goes out, that's probably going to be down to 30.
And we've actually got slightly expanded numbers this time. It looks like we're going to fill them as well.
Oh, nice.
We're doing very well.
Can we just say, chess boxing, bigger and better than ever.
Yeah.
It's going to be our best show yet, guys. If you haven't been before, you've got to get yourself down. Boston Dome, Tufnell Park, March 16th. Be there or
miss
be
out.
Lonely.
Miss out. you can also catch the whole thing live on Twitch. Twitch.tv/London Chess Boxing. We're going to have some... the camera work's going to be up close and personal. You're going to hear every punch... it's going to be fantastic to watch online as well. So if you can't get down or you don't live outside of the UK, make sure you tune in and watch the next event.
Excellent, great.
So John, anything else, anything you'd like to say to all your fans, your chess boxing fans? Or say hi to your mum or something? Any trash talking for Garrod or Sex Appeal Veal?
No, I think I'm looking forward to the fight, and I think it's going to be an interesting contest. Like we said, I'm full of nerves, and I'm sure he is, which is a good thing.
Mm.
And it's going to be a spectacle, and I'm going to make sure I don't get knocked out this time.
Right, so in your previous fight. Oh, so I forgot you've had an amateur fight, haven't you?
Yeah,
what
about
happened?
15 years ago, 16, 17 years ago.
Tell me what happened.
I was a bit mismatched and I was a little bit over-enthusiastic and I got knocked out in the second round.
Oh, really? What happened?
I couldn't find my rhythm. I couldn't find where he was. He kept on hitting me a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I saw two referees in the first round. Then
sounds like he should have been stopped.
Then I went into the second round and I caught him once with a kind of right over the top. I thought, all right. And I was settling in to hit him again. And then I didn't feel the punch. I was on the floor.
Mm-hmm.
And the doctor came in and said, don't get up. And I thought that was a good excuse for finishing it there.
Yeah.
Should have asked him to go to the bar for you. Then so, that way he'd have known you were okay.
So I wasn't John the Brick that day.
But you have got that over Garrod in the sense that he's not been in the ring before.
No, he's not had that intensity, yeah.
No, and sparring's is the best preparation you can have for a fight, but it doesn't fully
still
prepare
a poor
you.
Substitute.
No. Yeah.
And even just the nerves... It's, you know, waiting to go on is so nerve wracking.
Yeah,
I'm actually better when I'm in the ring. It's the build up to it. I find quite exhausting.
Yeah,
like just thinking about it. Yeah.
Yeah,
and all of that you'll have had that experience already, so I think that will help.
Yeah, it can never be like that again. Because I was in Manchester. I had to come down to London. I didn't have any corner men. I didn't have any coaches or anything. I was just set up
on
this bloke. I was on my own.
Okay.
It was all a bit of a miserable experience.
And who's your corner man this time? Have you got a corner man?
Yeah, I've got those two religious guys, two priests.
Okay, good.
There you go. So if anything seriously goes wrong...
Are they going to be wearing their dog collars?
That'd be great, I was about to say.
No.
Yeah. No, but seriously, I know Garrod is a better chess player, but it will make a huge difference, your experience of doing... being in the ring.
Yeah.
Because his first move in the second round of chess, I guarantee will be a bad one.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Okay.
So you just got to watch out for that and make sure you obviously last the first round of chess and obviously try and not losing it, going materially down, because I think the second round of chess, you'll have a real chance against him.
So play safe, stay materially at the same, and then see what happens in the second round.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, just club him in the boxing.
Yeah.
I think you've a good chance. Right, guys, well, let's wrap it up there. Thanks very much for coming on the podcast, John. We're really looking forward to seeing you at your first outing at the Dome, 16th of March. Get your tickets at londonchessboxing.com. Thanks very much, Matt.
No problems.
And we'll see you, listener, in a couple of weeks.
Goodbye.
Great. Bye.